found this in Gunnerum.
Gunnermirni. What is it?
Well, it's significant.
Welcome to Synthaholic, Domjot Human. I am Grognak, conqueror of Domjot Table.
You play Domjot as well as you talk.
I Domjot Human.
Well,
David Duncan David, is my name.
Did you turn into Michael Caine all of a sudden?
Michael Caine. And I've got two co-hosts with me. They will introduce themselves. If they stop laughing at me in my Domjot voice.
Domjot Michael Caine. Michael Caine playing a Nausicaan.
Domjot. He knows not to pick a fight with a Nausicaan.
I'm sure we've just lost like a shitload of
Everyone
people.
Everyone just hung up.
They're like, no more of these. I'm Aaron O'Brien, who sometimes plays Jamjot.
Domjot, not Jamdot.
Jambot.
Domjot.
I play Bombjot someplace else.
And Faith Hurts.
Oh,
come on!
No Nausicaan joke.
I couldn't even hear you.
What do not?
Oh man, the amount of ground you guys just covered between the two, I dare not step.
What do Nausicaan women look like? That's what I want to know.
Oh my god,
they've got hooked nipples.
It's gotta hurt.
Claw nipples? Claw nipples.
Like their claw faces that's yeah. like goes around their
kind of,
lips.
It's they like, kind of like.
You just gave me Earth 2 flashbacks.
Welcome.
They grab you and kind of bring you in and then they destroy you.
Or maybe they're all men. Maybe there are no Domjot females.
Yeah, maybe.
They're just asexual or something. I don't know.
Scary. So.
That would explain the moodiness.
Oh, God. And how well.
And why all they do is play Domjot.
How well they maneuver sticks into holes. So.
They'd be an expert by then.
We are talking about Star Trek Next Generation Tapestry this episode.
If you didn't know.
Yes.
Already.
Tapestry came out on February 15th, 1993. So. There you go.
In the year 2000.
In the year 2000. So, before we get into that, we just want to take a quick turn to the present. We're going to leave 1993 in a moment. We're going to talk about right now how
2016. A happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year, guys.
I hope your new year's resolution is to give us lots of stars and ratings, because as of last time I checked, we have not had any new ratings and reviews on iTunes.
After that last
this year.
After that, they were like, no.
This is your New Year's resolution, Synthaholics.
So, but we are going to talk.
I don't think we want the rating after that.
2016, they don't want to rate us. After 2016, we have the weird or controversial report of Axanar. They're being basically sued by Paramount and CBS, basically for making Axanar.
Well, like, they've had three successful Kickstarters, and all we've seen from it so far is Prelude. Prelude looks pretty amazing, but I mean, like, presumably the first one was to do Prelude, the second one was to do the movie, and they did a third one, and they've succeeded in all three of them, so I'm just like, well, like, why do you need more to make this thing when you said you wanted to do it for...
Right. And, I mean, I'm, you know, we don't know everything here. I mean, we're going on very little of what people have said, hearsay, pretty much. So we don't know what the full case leveled across them is and what the full thing is. I mean, the guy who's running it, Alec Peters, he did say that at one point that he did speak with the people from CBS and Paramount before they went after them legally, and there was some discussion at one point that they were kind of giving him maybe a warning, a verbal warning. I'm not quite sure. There wasn't anything. He didn't say what it was, but there was some kind of discussion at one point, and I think that took place in Las Vegas during the
convention. This past summer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, looking at the terms of this lawsuit, the general thing that's been released online so far, they're citing for copyright infringement on, like, Star Trek places and characters and races.
Right.
And that's pretty vague terminology, and all Star Trek fan films use Star Trek places, names, and races. So, like, I don't know if this is the... if this is going to be a bad thing for all fan films, or if they're only targeting Axanar only because of the amount of money they've made.
Yeah, well, and like we were saying before we start recording, is that, you know, Axanar, out of all the fan films, has made the most. And, you know, they're definitely have a lot of promise, and I think a lot of people are very upset about it because because we were all looking forward to see what they had, so... and, you know, what they were going to produce.
Yeah. I mean, it looks interesting, but, you know, I guess it depends on how things go. I mean, Alec Peters has been like, we're keeping going ahead with what we're doing.
I don't think he has any other choice at this very moment, you know. I mean, he has to keep going, you know, until this all gets kind of sorted out, you know, either way, in his favor or against him, or if there's some kind of fees he has to pay. So, I'm not sure, but it's kind of, I mean, there's been lengthy discussions, not just on our Facebook page, but on many other groups.
Lots of Star Trek groups have been talking about it.
Yeah.
My analogy was, and it still is, you know, yes, it is nice that CBS and Paramount has allowed these fan films to be made, but let's face it, they haven't done anything with the product for quite a while. I mean, besides the JJ movies, which is controversial, and a lot of people hate them, you know, and I know some people love them too, but I mean, there's all over the board with that. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of anger about with the studios, because we don't feel like they're really trying to help the fans or giving the fans what they want.
Yeah, it's really disappointing that the way that they've been kind of handling this. I mean, I understand it's their property, and they need to protect it or whatever, but. The only reason that a fan-funded film made so much money is because CBS and Paramount haven't been doing their job.
Exactly.
I.e. making Star Trek.
Right.
I mean, I know they've got other things they've got to make, but Star Trek hasn't been on the air in, like, 10 years, a little over 10 years, because we, back at early, or on episode, like, 10 or 11, it was the last day of, Enterprise.
Right.
And that was like, you know, 6 months ago. So, I mean, it's about almost 11 years.
And like I said, I put the analogy before on the Facebook page. It's like an abandoned child whose parents left them, and now they're coming back and saying, oh, you can and can't do this, and there's the abandoned child. You're like, what? You've been gone. Like, what? When are you coming and telling me? I mean, it's like you haven't been around for us for anything. And I think people are just mad about it. And especially the way Enterprise ended up. I think a lot of people are mad how that ended.
And there's, what, like six different NCIS shows that they own? Like,
And who the hell
cares? But that's what makes the network money right now. But, and, like, I hate to be the devil's advocate, but...
Then stop.
Neglectful parent or anything like that, they own it. They don't owe anything to us. They're not making any money doing the Star Trek Enterprise, so why should they continue doing it? So what if there's a lot of fans that want it, if it's not what's generating any sort of income?
But they haven't
they
even...
have
but,
to exercise their
but
right.
The issue,
how are they going to generate income if they're not going to...
Yeah, it's like it's a... It's
they don't have to. They're generating income elsewhere, and for them it's a lost cause. But they don't have to let anybody else use it. I mean, it's just like with music and art and or anything else. Like, and I hate to be the person to point that out, but it's their rights. They have the right to use it, and they have the right to shelve it and put it away.
Hey, it's not a lost cause, because Star Trek has always been the cornerstone of new things. Voyager launched UPN.
It used to be. But I think now with the current attitudes of the network and that, we might be in for a hell of a shock.
It's still a cornerstone because they're banking
on
Star Trek.
Now.
They're banking on Star Trek to make their All Access boom. Like, it's going to be their first original content for their CBS All Access.
Well,
this is, again, going to be a cornerstone. Star Trek is a cornerstone for making money. I don't know why they've ignored it for 10 years.
I hope it works. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what their plan is. But I do understand, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Faith, that, yeah, it is their property. They should be able to do with what they want. But they do definitely seem to kind of like just, yeah, I when we feel like it, you know, we'll get around to it if we ever do. Now, they finally have. And I understand, you know, that there are some reasons that why the studios have gone after Axanar itself. But
well, with their branch off, Axanar might be a severe threat to their being able to successfully launch it, which is the other thing to consider.
The other thing I thought is maybe the 2017 series takes place during the Axanar time period.
That could be it as well.
That could be.
I mean, we don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know, and unfortunately, it really just boils down to who owns the copyright.
But in the end, too, is like, why wouldn't the studios... This blows my mind. Like, they see a great product. They see the fans excited. It doesn't look like it's going to suck. I mean, I haven't seen anything, per se, that's to show me either way if it's good or bad. But why wouldn't they just go and say, hey, let's collaborate now?
Because the margin of liability is huge when you're combining studios, and you have a whole lot of things that can go wrong and a whole lot of people that get blamed, and then you have a very big, very expensive mess to sort out.
Well, they already do. But they already do now. You know,
it's easier to sue them.
I guess.
It's actually easier to sue it, and this will give them the opportunity to quite possibly buy out the production. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that can occur with that. But, I mean, it boils down to the simple fact that when you're doing any sort of production, it's a lot of money and a lot of costs that people don't take into account.
Well, I'm sure it's more – that's why I don't want to, like, get into any kind of, like, the nuts and bolts of it, because I don't understand everything. I haven't even read anything.
And I feel like the statement's really general, too.
The statement is extremely general of why they're being sued. So we don't really know everything yet. So, I mean, I'm sure more will come out in time, and we'll find out more as time goes on. But as of now, yeah.
That's pretty confusing.
Axanar is being sued for producing Star Trek material.
Yeah. Along with kind of what we were saying with Star Trek, you know, coming out again, I mean, we knew that Renegades was being shopped as a new series. That got turned down, obviously, so it's not going to be Renegades. Captain Worf isn't going to be on there because Michael Dorn has actually come out, and he wants to go ahead with Captain Worf, but because they didn't take his idea, he wants to just change the setting. It's still going to be a sci-fi action-adventure starring Michael Dorn, but it's going to be in his own. He's going to change the universe to make it his own. So
sorry,
Michael Dorn is still trying to sell that.
I'm sorry. I mean, Michael Dorn, I love you, and I love your Worf character. But the Worf character kind of carries it.
Yeah, you made a very good secondary and support role. Yeah. But
well, I mean, it would have been great. I would have loved to have seen a Captain Worf series. I don't know why that was never even put, like, seriously considered, but
I think the problem with it is that he would... I think his pitch was... I mean, I haven't read a whole lot about it, but I thought he was going to be a Klingon, as Worf is a Klingon, on a ship with mostly Klingons.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think a general audience would identify with a mostly alien... cast.
Yeah.
Especially main characters and having humans as only supporting characters. I don't think a general audience would go for that. Because, I mean, Star Trek is being sold to a general audience now with the JJ movies, and presumably they're going to try to target a general audience also with the new show in 2017.
Right, of course. So
that's why Captain Worf probably was never going to happen, because, I mean, as much as I'd like to see it, and a general audience won't buy...
I think you could have gunned Captain Worf just on a starship, and he's the captain, but he happens to be Klingon. That would have been interesting, because we already had such a huge backstory of Worf developed. So,
yeah. I mean, it would have been
yeah,
nice.
That would have been an interesting history to have seen continued.
I think he just needs to get with the Renegades people and just try to make Captain Worf be part of Renegades. Because I could see that being a thing. Like,
Renegades doesn't need one more character.
It doesn't, but I mean, like, I mean, before all these addition of characters, that would have been my go-to thing before they added Nog and Chakotay and Oh, and speaking of which, Aaron Eisenberg has recently had his kidney transplant and seems to be doing well from what I've seen on Facebook.
Yes.
If you don't follow.
I did see that was happening, and it seemed like everything worked out good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. So let's go on to Tapestry. So way back in Ye Olde episode one, me and Dave talked about our favorite episodes. During our excitement, we picked out five episodes of what we would want if we were ever stranded on a desert island. But we never got to my one favorite is Tapestry.
We also didn't get to my favorite, Darmok, which we'll be doing at the end of the month.
I thought we talked about Darmok, but anyways.
I left out one, I think.
Because I remember distinctly talking about Darmok and how I had problems with it. But anyways.
We'll talk about it again anyway.
We're going to talk about it again. But we're going to talk about Tapestry. Now, Tapestry is a pretty popular episode when it comes to Next Generation. A lot of people seem to like this episode.
Well, it's got something really good going for it. It's a Q episode, even though it doesn't have Q in the title, which has only happened one other time. Mm-hmm. Q episodes are almost always like the creme de la creme of Star Trek The Next Generation episodes. I can't think of any bad Q episodes.
Yeah. Maybe a counter at Farpoint's a little hard to watch.
Well, the thing is, Q wasn't originally in that.
But he is in it.
He is in it because they were forced to make a two-hour episode. And the part about Q was just written in to make it longer, and that was the best part of the episode. So Q saved Encounter at Farpoint.
I don't know if he saved it, but...
he made it less sucky.
He did. He made it. He made a little sweet spot in there. Okay, so... We start off the episode as Tapestry, where we're on in the sick bay, and they're going to be beaming up some injured passengers. And when they beam them up, the away team are all pointing their phasers, and they look like they're in the middle of action. Just when they beamed up, they were under attack, and Captain Picard has been injured and shot in his chest, and.
Narrow tachyon beam?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if it would have been worse if it was a wide tachyon beam.
I don't. I think it's tetrion beam.
Tetrion
beam. But anyway, yeah. Captain Picard, which we learn pretty quickly that he has a artificial heart. And because of the direct hit to his chest. It basically stopped his heart and all sorts of organ failures going on, and he's dying on the table. Right after that, we see Picard walking in a white background going into the light, and there's some angel-like...
hand reaching out to him.
Supernatural, ethereal being there, and he grabs the hand, and it is Q.
Q.
He goes, welcome to the afterlife, Picard.
You're dead.
Yeah. and that's how we have our little teaser in the beginning.
Also in the teaser, they mentioned Dr. Saylor, my favorite Next Generation doctor.
They did mention her, yes. I noticed that, too.
She was my favorite doctor.
I was like, ooh, point for Dave. it comes back in from that original teaser, and Q said, "I'm God," and Picard laughs, and he's like, "No way, no way, you're God." And he's like, "And I'm not dead."
He's like, "I should smite you or something."
Yeah, and after going through, so he was like, "You know, me and you are going to be spending a long time together." And he says, "How long?" And he's an eternity.
Eternity.
And he's then like, "Well, do you have any regrets?" And he's like, "I don't, want to talk with it about you." And he shows his father, and his father's chewing him out from joining Starfleet and stuff like that.
His father sounds a lot like his brother, Robert.
Yeah, kind of looks like him, too. And so he's getting chewed out by his father, and he asks him to stop. And then he's hearing the voices of every person that ever died under his command or because of his actions or inactions as command. And he's like, I'm not going to entertain this with you. This is ridiculous. And then he says, well, surely you have some regrets, because I don't want you, with me for eternity, wallowing about some regrets that you might have had in your past that you never fixed. And they get into about how his heart. He's like, how did you lose your heart? He says, you know, got into a fight.
With three Nausicaans.
And then he has a little flashback where a young Picard is fighting the Nausicaans and gets stabbed through the heart.
And he's doing some, like, Jackie Chan stuff. Like, that is some impressive fighting for...
Yeah, he was handling himself really well.
He was reading the Kirk How to Kick Butt manual because he's pulling out some Kirk moves.
This is Captain Picard. It might be a young, inexperienced Picard, but this is Picard.
And he's doing Kirk type moves.
He's still pretty badass.
Yeah, this is a young Picard, so he is badass in the physical aspect. Now, he might not have all the temperament of the Captain Picard we know, but...
And he's got more of the hair than the Captain Picard we know.
Right. So, as Q and Picard watch the young Picard dead on the floor with a knife that gets stabbed through his back.
And laughing about it.
And laughing hard. Picard says that he does have regrets that in his early life that he was very brash, cocky, and just not disciplined, and it led to a lot of problems, and hence his heart being one of the casualties.
Heart, yeah.
Yeah, his heart being a casualty of this. So, Q decides, okay, let's go do a redo, and sends him back in time.
Or he immediately gets slapped by a woman.
Yeah, so he is back on Starbase Earhart, and a woman slaps him in the face, and she storms out. And there is some of his old friends from the Academy. They're all ensigns at this time. This is we have Corey and Marta.
Yes, and they are both watching him as he gets slapped in the face. And then he's like, Marta? Corey? And he's literally confused. And they're like, did she slap some sense into you, dude?
Yeah, they think that the slap did something to him. And then he's just shocked that he's there. And they're like, well, we're going to, you know, head out. And they're like, oh, you have another date, which that he did. Amazingly, he had a date with another woman. But Q's there with him. And then he says... You know, Picard's like, well, you can't do this. If you send me back in time, it's going to change things in the past. And Q just says,
like, you're not that important.
You're not that important. Don't worry about it. Which I kind of
give you my word. Everything. I mean, like, you know, they wouldn't have. Q's kind of wrong because, I mean, I guess he could have terminated some other captain and flung them into the queue. I mean, into the Borg. Mm-hmm. But I mean.
Well, not just that, but I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things. But
the conspiracy stopping the
or even
the little bug things,
the universe imploding on itself at all good things.
Well, that hadn't happened yet, so.
But it will.
Or not, because Q was also screwing around with him in that episode.
Sure,
too, so.
But anyways, but Q promised that everything that it was to be done there will not affect any of the outcomes of the timeline that he knows. Which, you know, okay, whatever. So, yes.
So Picard goes along with it because he really doesn't want to spend eternity with Q.
Right. And so Picard goes off to the bar and finds his date, this woman named Penny.
She's a lot older. She actually looks almost as old or older than Picard is currently.
She's a good-looking woman.
She's a good-looking woman, but you can definitely tell she's
older
than Ensign Picard.
Okay.
He's certainly older than the lady that recently slapped him.
Yeah, that's true. And so he basically is trying to be the Picard that we know now, where he's very, like,
proper.
You know, I don't know anything about you.
Now, what's your last name? And
can I have your resume? And the... And she just doesn't go...
I liked it when you talked about my eyes.
Yeah, she just... she
and my ass.
And she's like, you know... He gives her the name, calls her a handsome woman. He says, that's a name
that's
you give.
That's old ladies.
That's her older ladies.
You are certainly not an old lady.
And he gets a drink thrown in his face, so.
And luckily,
Hugh's
the bartender.
You kind of earn. You don't really use the word handsome with women.
Yeah, that's a hard word for a woman to hear.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. Don't do that. No. Yeah.
Unless you're trying to torture your chances of getting laid. In that case, go for it.
Go for it.
Yes. If you're trying to cock block yourself.
Yep. By all means. This is a very good way to do it, and I suggest repeating as necessary.
That's where I've been going wrong. Anyways, they show that he's playing, his friend Corey's playing Dom Jot, and he's cleaning up with the board, and then where we have, all of a sudden, they have the... Nausicaans walk in, and this is the first time we see Nausicaans ever. unfortunately.
They're ugly dudes.
Nausicaa is driving me nuts. They're just the dumbest aliens. Well, no, not the dumbest, but just one.
Yeah, not the dumbest, but definitely one of the ugliest.
Yeah, they're definitely hard to understand how they got this far in
in life.
And then, yeah, like how they put their boots on. But
how do they eat when they get something that curves around their front of their mouth?
I don't know. It seems
like jam it in the side.
Seems so weird.
Doesn't seem like they'd be very good predators with like you know, if they were evolving, you know, like you know, and they evolved that thing around the front of their mouth. Like, it doesn't seem like they'd be very dangerous predators.
Maybe it's more flexible than it actually looks, and it's just sort of like an exposable mandible.
Maybe, but it looks like it's almost joined. Like, it touches, like, their nose to their chin.
Yeah, and they act like the dumbest Klingon you've ever met.
Well, their digestive abilities could be completely reversed. It could be why they talk so much shit.
Right. Right. We just don't know. Yeah, so...
They just ask questions really aggressively.
This is where the whole Nausicaa play Domjot humans come in. It's a pretty memorable line, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it's one of the few lines they say. So
yeah, no, and it is kind of funny, but it gets like, ah, these guys again. So Corey plays them, and unfortunately, they have some device that's helping them cheat. They don't really show it, but he
surmises it's in his belt. Yeah. He's got a belt buckle tractor beam, which is a wonderful song by Warp 11. You should listen to it.
Anyways, so they the Nausicaans beat Corey, and Corey's just mad that he got beat at this game. And later on, they head back to I believe it's Picard's.
Quarters.
Yeah, they're there, and he's fuming mad, and he's like, "We got to get revenge. We're gonna get him back." All this stuff, and Picard's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Let's not do that."
Like, what's that gonna get us? I mean, what's the point of that? And he's like, "Well, yeah, we can show that they don't cheat Starfleet officers." And they're like,
"Ooh, whoopee!"
Yeah, and he's like, "What's that gonna say?" Well, Picard tries to talk him out of it, and Corey leaves kind of in a huff because like Picard's not gonna be part of it. While Marta just is sort of like, you know, you seem different. You're not the same. And I don't know what it is. And so she ends up leaving. And
Picard.
Oh, Q shows up right at that point.
And I got some flowers here for a John Luck Pickard.
Yeah.
And very nice.
I love Q.
and he says, "Oh, by the way, Corey's down at the bar, and he's tinkering with the Domjot table, just like you told him not to." And so Picard goes off to stop Corey, and he's like, "You know, I'm going to report you to the gambling foreman if you don't change, if you don't stop doing this." You know?
And he's just like, meh, meh, meh.
"Yeah,
what?" What?
And basically, Picard is saying we should be, we're officers now.
We should be held to a higher standard,
right,
you know?
Right. So, Corey's pretty pissed off at him that he even would go that direction, because that's not the Johnny Picard that he knows.
I don't know. It's just so weird that, like, you know, like, in the Federation, everything's supposed to be so prim and proper, and they go through this academy. And, like, in the Next Generation, earlier episodes, in the episode's brothers, we see, like, children are having to learn, like, calculus and be, like, way more mature. And then you got these, you know, fully grown young men acting like, oh,
I don't think...
And having it being encouraged, because that's a way that they find the people that step out of the crowd. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think the idea, though, is that there is something about youth, obviously, that is wild, that you cannot take out of no matter what, you know, like you're going to do crazy things. And I think we've all done that, you know, in our youth. We've done something really wild. You're like, why did I do that? That was so dangerous, or that was so crazy that I would even do that, you know. But we didn't really like, oh, we'll just do it, you know.
It was a good idea at the time.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, you would think this would be like the non-Federation, the undisciplined ones. And these are
I don't think officers. That changes. And let's face it, now they're officers. They're out of the academy. They're probably feeling pretty high and mighty at this point, so they feel like maybe like nothing can stop them kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of things that go with it to make them more, you know,
arrogant.
Yeah, that's the proper word for it. So Corey leaves, pretty pissed off, and Picard is back in the room with Marta, and he's like, I don't know if he's going to get over it. He seems pretty angry, and she's like, he'll be fine.
And she's like, did you ever think about us?
And Picard goes, oh, yeah.
Like, giggity, giggity.
So
he throws out his, like, oh, this is proper or not proper charm now, and he just, like...
He just goes for it.
Goes for it. And in the next morning, he's laying in bed and...
Naked.
He feels naked, and he feels a finger rub his ear, trace the outside of his ear.
Feeling a little hair.
He's like,
Wait, Marta's legs aren't that hairy.
He rolls around and like, it's cute.
I don't remember those hairy legs on Marta before. Oh, my God.
And then I love how he holds his covers up and he's like, looking at it. Ugh. This is often a meme online of Picard laying in bed next to Q.
I do.
I think he's just like showing up next to the captains in bed because he just seems to enjoy this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, he did it the Janeway.
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Janeway was wearing a nightgown at least.
Yeah, he changed what she was wearing.
I think Q obviously takes fun in that, but I do. The best part of the whole thing is Picard's reaction to Q constantly, all the time. Just even like the little look.
So uncomfortable.
Like, I think at one point Q calls him Johnny, and he just has this look like, oh, would you shut the hell up?
And then I love
how,
like,
you could see the face palm in his eyes.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, and then another part, or I think the thing was earlier where they were in the bar, and after he hit the, you know, the water thrown in his face, and Q's like, it gets you right here. And he
points to his heart. Yeah, and Picard looks at him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like Q was, like, still Q in this episode, but he's a lot more subdued. Like, in his...
He's
like
supportive. He was actually trying to be supportive, and when you're kind of the constant asshole, it's kind of like, wait, how am I supposed to empathize? Oh, yeah, I should do this.
Well, he's the punch... He's the punchline in everything in this one.
Yeah.
So he gives all the little jokes and everything, and while Picard plays the straight man, trying to go through this weird maze that he's put him through. So, the next morning... Picard goes down and he meets Marta, and she's having breakfast, and she's like, oh, this is the morning after. And he's like, you know,
he's like, this is awesome. Let's keep doing this. And she's like, no,
I can't, we can't. And I think we've ruined our friendship. And Picard's, sort of like, well, then let's forget it. And she says, I can't. And then she kind of walks off and,
oh yeah, we got a party tonight. It's going to be really awkward. Cause, we both hate you now.
Yeah.
See ya. Bye.
Already made the plans. I'm still going to be there. And yeah.
It's going to be awkward.
Yeah. So, and Q's there to give him more taunting after all this. So Picard's heart is probably breaking of all the everything he's done wrong in this little revised version of his life.
He's not even, like, nothing's happening any better.
Yeah, it's actually going worse other than, you know.
Heart puncture.
Yeah, heart puncture. So maybe he's getting his heart broken in another way. So they're out. At the basically the same table, looks like, and they're at the bar, and they're having a couple drinks, and they're silent. They're not saying anything. It's obviously Corey's mad at John Luc, and Marta's just upset about what happened between them. Probably, you know, doesn't know how to feel about everything, and that's when the Noskans show up.
Hey, dumb dot woman.
Yeah, and Picard's like, no. We're good. Let's just go about your business. We don't need those brochures.
Play Dom John with your other friend.
We already have our
friend.
Awkward moment. You don't need to add to it. It's good.
So he's calling them a coward, that they have no gramba.
Apparently that's Nausicaan for ball, since they don't have, I guess it's singular ball instead of balls.
They got hooks for mouths, so what are you going to say? You know,
Uniball,
yeah.
No gramba.
And,
hey, the one guy has a stutter. Don't pick on him.
Well, and then... and Corey gets up and he's like, well, Let's. I mean, he's going to fight him because he's calling him a coward. Picard says no, and then he says, well, maybe I'll, if you don't play Jamjot, maybe I'll play with her, pointing at Marta. And that's when Corey goes to fight, and Picard
pushes him over a table, flips him over.
Yeah, he throws his own friend over, and he's like, you know, no, we're not doing this. We're not fighting. And
he was reaching for a weapon.
Yeah, which I don't know if he was or not, but the Noskins walk away and laughing at him.
Kind of a liar.
And Corey and Marta are done with John Luke. They just leave him. And he's like, you know, Q's like, you were successful. You didn't get stabbed through the heart, you know.
Good job. You can live your life now.
And, of course, his wish is fulfilled. He's returned to the Enterprise. Unfortunately, he is no longer captain.
Nope, he's a little blue shirt.
He's a junior grade lieutenant, astrophysics.
He's basically Barkley.
Barkley actually would have outranked him.
Astrophysics is even worse. So
yeah, not even main engineering.
Yeah. So
it would have been really funny if, like, Barkley was captain in this, like, universe.
Yeah, that would be hilarious, actually.
I think in Memory Alpha, they said Jellicoe was also might have been captain, but they picked somebody else to be captain.
Yeah, it says here Thomas Holloway, whoever he is.
It would have been funny if it was Barkley. It's like, yeah, Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
Salt to open wound.
So, yeah.
No! Blake Jamjot Q?
It was a Nausicaan. Thomas Holloway's a Nausicaan.
That will be hilarious.
So anyways, so Picard obviously realizes that he's on the bridge, and they tell Worf and Data tell him that he's a lieutenant junior grade and that he's in astrophysics, and Picard's obviously disorientated, but he's you know, going about his business, and he asks Riker and Counselor Troy if they would give him an honest assessment of if he could possibly go into command or some other division in the future.
You're punctual.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic, I guess.
And when he asked, I mean, and Picard is pretty forward. He's like, I want you to be straightforward with me. Why don't you think that's going to happen? And he says, you don't stand out. You don't take risks. I just don't see it happening. You're not, you know, you have these grand ideas, Troy says, that you want to do these things, but you don't actually act upon them. You don't actually do that. And hasn't that been the problem all along? And, you know, and then they get called away on some higher, you know, command duty. And
yeah.
Picard's left to sit there and ponder that. And he jumps on the turbo lift.
Because Geordi LaForge is like, hey, where's that paper you were supposed to give me?
Yeah. So he's on the turbo lift, and he's like, that's enough, Q. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, this is it. This is not my life. I don't want to do this. And the doors open, and there's Q in the white background where he started off from. And this is where Picard's like, yeah, I can't live that life.
I can't be that person.
Yeah, I can't, you know.
Bereft of feeling and passion.
Right. And and basically he said, Q's like, well, that's, you know, who you wanted to be. You know, this is the all the, you know, discipline and all the calculated moves that you wanted. You never took all this because you were always in that mode. I mean, you didn't take the risk that would have got you to become captain.
Earlier on, yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, you saved an ambassador on some away mission. It made you take charge of the Stargazer when it was the captain died.
Field promotion, woo!
Right, so... He says, so I want to go back. I want to make it right. And Q puts him right back to at that moment when he's facing the Nausicaans, and the Nausicaans call him a coward, and Picard just starts the fight right there.
Oh, yeah. Picard starts doing all those ninja moves like he did in the like he saw his young version do.
And they go into it, and Picard gets stabbed through the heart again.
And laughs about it.
Like
it's funny.
And then the next moment, we see him back on the table in the sick bay. And they say he's coming around. He's getting better.
He's laughing.
And he's giggling to himself. And he's brought back, and he's we have the last little part where Picard and Riker are talking in the ready room, and
Picard's not sure if it was really Q or not.
If it even happens, but he's like, you know, Riker's saying a lot of people have after-death experiences, but I've never heard one so detailed. And he's like, I don't know if Q was doing me a favor, what he was doing.
But if he did, you know, I owe him a debt of gratitude.
Right.
And I want to say in an earlier episode, Picard, you know, said he, you know, he owed Q or something, so.
Yeah. Well, Q does. I mean, even though Q messes with them a lot, he does help them. Like, even helping them know about the Borgs, you know, coming, so.
Yeah.
And that wraps up the whole episode of Tapestry. This is, like I said, this is a very popular, basically one encapsulated episode that a lot of people like.
Oh, it's a fantastic episode. It's well done. Lots of great humor in it. More insight to Picard's background. It's just all around really well done. And looking at Memory Alpha and seeing the, you know, the production of it, this was like kind of rocky. I was kind of surprised because this was such a jewel of an episode.
Yeah, how do you mean? What, they just had a hard time getting off the ground?
Well, like the original pitch for it was like a Q carol, like instead of being a Christmas carol,
right?
And he was going to have like three Qs, and they can make the three different points in his life. Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I think it would have been amazing if they could have done it even more, like where he changed multiple parts in his life to end up where. Where he ultimately ended up and wanting to change it all back because, and no one liked, a lot of people didn't like that idea. And I was like, why? That would have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. It would have been great if they could have sped it across a 2-part episode or a 3-part episode. That would have been awesome.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think that would have been really cool.
What about other feelings or takeaways that you want to just bring out about this episode?
It's definitely one of my favorites. I mean, I didn't put it on my top five because. We wanted to have, you know, initially different top five. That way we would, like, talk about the same episode twice. So.
Right, right.
It's definitely up there probably, like, in my top 10 because I love pretty much all Q episodes. They're always fantastic.
Sure.
And, right. You know, getting to see John DeLancey is always a treat.
Right. How about you, Faith? Anything that you – your takeaways from watching this episode?
I just really enjoyed the look into Picard's life and the way it would actually could have been and the way all his choices and that really made him the person that he is today because you don't realize just how he was when he was younger.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a little crazy back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Bringing a fist to a knife fight.
Well... You only learn to make that mistake once, and learning to make that mistake definitely made him the man he turned out to be.
So this was probably the Star Trek episode that literally changed my life. Some time ago, it was many years ago, I was kind of in a bad place. Not terribly bad, but I just was directionless. And I really saw I saw this episode. I don't even remember if I saw it when it originally aired.
Really?
I mean, maybe I did, but it was just like it was 93, and maybe I just saw it in 93. I would have only been like 17, 18 years old, so I wouldn't have really like
just starting college.
Maybe just getting out of high school. Maybe just my first year of college. But maybe I don't know if I like would have completely registered the thing. And it seemed like an interesting story maybe at the time, but I wouldn't been able to like. So fast forward maybe like it was probably 97, 98 when I saw this when I'm talking
reruns.
It was during the reruns and it was late at night, like maybe midnight. I'm watching this and I saw the. Captain or the junior grade Lieutenant Picard in his astrophysic blue uniform, and I was just like, I completely identified with him, and I was like, wow, that's me. I mean, I felt just like him. It's like he was completely direct. It's like, you know, like when he has the conversation with Riker and Troy, and it's like, I feel like I can do more. And they're like, well, isn't that the problem? You always say you want to do more, but you haven't. And that literally was like the game changer for me. It's like, holy shit. Like, oh my God, I've been saying that to my whole life. So at that point, I've been working construction for years, and I dropped out of college. I didn't really have a full direction or even a plan. You know, I was just kind of going to one thing to the other and just going through life, whatever. And, you know, I did not, you know, I didn't hate construction, but it wasn't what I wanted, you know. Yeah. And I just was like, I have to change something. And that's, pretty soon afterward, I went and I enrolled back into college, you know, finished my degree, and kind of moved forward from there. And seeing this always brings that emotion back, and it kind of brings me back in check too of where I am in my life as well. Like, I kind of use it as a gauge, like how far have I come, where have I gone from that back then and to now. And it's sort of like a measuring stick in some ways when I see it, because it reminds me of what I was and now where I am now. And, you know, and I kind of gauge it from that. I don't know how to correctly describe that.
I think you're doing a really good job, and I think that's really interesting, the way Star Trek impacted your life. Because, I mean, I know a lot of people have different stories about that, inspired them to do different things. Like, a lot of people in NASA, you know, when they saw the original series, wanted to go into science and stuff like that. So it's just really powerful and awesome that that it made you want to change your life.
Right.
And make yourself better.
It definitely did. And, you know, like the original series obviously inspired me, you know, in different ways. But I was very young at the time, too. But this was like I don't know. It was like one of those things that hit you at the exact moment maybe that you needed it. And yeah. I didn't know I needed it at the time until I saw it. And like I said, it was like maybe, you know, midnight when this was on, you know, a rerun. And I'm like, you know, I'm still awake and I'm watching it, and
it just opened your eyes.
I was like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I'm always, you know, I always, always trying to look for ways to improve myself in some way or form, but it's hard for, it's hard to always see that map in front of you. That's the nice thing about this episode, is that Picard can see a retrospect of his life and see the map of how he should have been and stuff like that. I don't, you know, get to see my retrospect.
We don't have Q to help us.
Yeah. So that's the hard thing. I sometimes feel like I'm just clawing at the future blindly. But that being
time
said,
time is like a tiger. It stalks you in the night.
Right.
Sauron says.
So, so that's where it comes down. This is why it's one of my favorites. I mean, there's, out of the five I picked, there was a lot of different things I liked about different episodes I liked, but this was the one that I was like, wow, you know, it just hit me. And I was like, I can't believe how emotionally it hit me. So, I'm kind of glad we didn't talk so much about it in our first episode, because I don't think I could have gotten into it as much.
Yeah, we're speed running like five episodes apiece.
Yeah, we were just kind of like giving the brief, like what it's about and why we liked it. So, but so that's what it is, and that's I guess
it's like
I'm
Star Trek speed dating. It's like psh, psh, psh.
Whatever.
It's nice to be able to take the time to go more in depth with the episodes that we really like, that touch on, you know, things like that, because there's several different episodes that affected us in different ways like that.
Oh, right. We'll probably go back through our favorite five eventually and do, you know, our own full episodes on all of them eventually, most likely. But
like Picard said, you know, he owes Q a debt of gratitude. I think I owe Tapestry a debt of gratitude in my life. So
Ronald D. Moore wrote that, I think. So
I'll have to write him a letter.
Write to Ronald D. Moore a letter. Please, please, please come back and write for Star Trek 2017. Please come back.
God, please.
It's like, don't let them do this. Don't let them do this without you.
Yeah, right, exactly. the one thing I can point out besides the Nausicaans just being just complete
jerk faces.
Yeah. I always hated how they go back. He goes back and they're in the old uniforms and they don't have the
turtleneck.
Collar.
Like, it looks so weird. And they do it in yesterday's Enterprise as well. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Every time you see it, they don't have that underneath turtleneck. With
I wish I had
collar.
Somebody told me the reason for that is just, is it a pricing thing? Like, when they were trying to do costumes, they were just put those colored T-shirts underneath them to give them, like, you know. I don't know. I don't know what the full reason for it is, but it just, I'm like, oh, that just looks so bad.
It looks awful without the turtleneck underneath.
I just don't understand. I mean, like, yeah, I get it. Maybe turtlenecks weren't in style at the time, but.
I don't know. I mean, it just totally changes the way that uniform looks. And the uniform is a beautiful uniform.
I love that uniform.
And then without the, it just misses something.
It just takes away. It's like seeing the Next Generation uniform in season 1 and 2 when they don't have the collar. And then they have the collar. And it just makes it.
Yeah.
When they have the collar on it, it just makes it. And it's like, that made the uniform awesome. I don't know what it is. What makes a collar? Maybe it's a military look? I'm not sure. Can't really say, but
space pajamas with collars. Oh yeah,
and the collars made it for me. I'm sorry.
I don't know, like my favorite post movies uniforms. The season 3 or season 4 DS9 uniform where it's like black with the gray top, and
yeah,
then you just have the collar,
the collar, yeah,
and the cuffs of the colors.
No, the DS9 are a nice look, and they go to that in, is it Nemesis or is it they wear something similar to that Nemesis.
Well, yeah, the Next Generation crew starts wearing it, and I think First Contact.
First Contact they wear it?
First Contact and the rest of the three, they wear it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it just it looks so much better.
It just makes them more uniformy because they're all almost exactly the same and only slight differences, like the collars and the cuffs.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so, anyways. Yeah, it was very interesting. I love going back and watching this every once in a while and just reflecting on my life.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. It's very, probably the most maybe introspective we've probably been on the show as far as how it's affected our lives, I think.
Yeah, we do have feelings, yeah. People.
Sometimes we have feelings. And then Faith got into her feelings a bit when we did her Faith 5. I unfortunately haven't met very many of my feelings yet, I guess.
Yes. Well, we have, but we keep them very tightly locked in a box, and Aaron only lets them out for you now and then. So
here you go.
You have visiting privileges.
I have visiting privileges for my feelings every now and then. Oh, thanks, guys.
Well, it took us a hell of a time to find them, right?
Sorry, guys.
You hid them very well.
Yeah.
It's
a tapestry within a tapestry. You gotta find it.
Yeah. And
you're banned from hide and go seek. We're just saying.
Speaking of hide and go seek, if I want to get a little bit personal in my life, I scared the crap out of my parents and my other siblings because we were playing hide and seek and I never came out.
Oh, you're one of those kids.
Oh. Wow.
I was hiding underneath the crib. The baby's crib, and it had a really low gate, and so I just pulled it up, went underneath it, and like laid there, and then my dad got really upset when I didn't come out. He was scared I went somewhere. I was like, nope, I was here, I was playing.
Yeah, my cousins did that too, and they were playing hide and go seek outside, and they didn't come in.
Oh, I was at least inside, you know. But
yeah. It scares
the crap out of your parents.
I can tell you for real, that does scare the hell out of your parents.
It's a whole new perspective when it's your kids that do that to you. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I don't know why you're bringing that up, but that's pretty cruel.
Well, I was, I just was, someone said something about hide and go seek, about my feelings. I'm like, well, speaking up so I can get a little bit personal and pour out my life in front of the group, although not as, like, you know.
If your dad's listening to this, he's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to get him for that. Now he's older, I can get him back.
No, not the bench. No, not Hansel's house.
Your dad will be like. Your dad will be, son, I'm dying. You're going to have to come and visit me on my deathbed. And you'll, like, rush down and be like, joking! Just playing.
That's not hide and go seek.
Now you know how it feels.
Now you know how it feels.
There's a life lesson I just taught you.
Like 30 years later.
30 years later, I finally got one over on you.
So I just thought I'd be personable to the listeners and to you guys.
It's an interesting story.
It is.
Now you know a little bit more about David.
hiding under his crib when he was five.
No, hiding under one of my siblings' cribs, but that's where I was hiding.
And how old were you?
I was probably four, maybe five.
Okay. Got you? I'm actually not taking your side on this emotionally. I'm taking your father's side.
Well, you see, I'm trying to help.
I'm like,
and the rumor,
I can't believe you did that.
I'm like, that poor Mr. Duncan.
Such a jerk move, man.
Poor Mr. Duncan. He was just trying to be a good dad, letting his kids play hide and go seek, and then they scares the bejesus out of him.
I was trying to hide.
Hide and go seek sucks, okay? As a parent, that is like the one game that you avoid doing. And then, yeah, you had to go for the fear factor.
Sorry. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah. There you go.
Sorry, Aaron, for making you relive that with your kids. Sorry, Faith, for making you relive that with your kids.
Yeah, I think we both have flashbacks.
We're both pissed off at you right now.
I'm sorry, guys.
Now I need to go check and see if they're sleeping. Thanks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got to check on them.
Sorry, guys.
We got our disappearing act, David Duncan. Mysterio.
Hide under the cribbio.
The invisible man. Hide under the cribbo.
I hide in plain sight. One, two, 3 hours.
You were gone for 3 hours of the crib. Oh my God.
No, it was probably like a half an hour. Uh-oh. It probably wasn't that bad.
Probably felt like five for him.
5 hours. Five.
Yeah, your mom.
I still haven't found him.
Your mom was like, "I'm going out. We're going to pick up some groceries. Just watch the kids. Make sure they don't do anything bad." Oh yeah, fine. You know, hey kids, why don't you play hide and seek? And then you know, half an hour later, your father's got gray hair all over his head because you don't get under the crib and he's calling you for the 20th, 80th time.
I think that's
and mom is going to be home in about 10 minutes.
Your dad, like, he's like probably doesn't even properly dress. He just like threw on some like ugly sneakers, not even socks. And he's running outside. He's looking everywhere. He's looking between bushes. He's running down the street. Like, have you seen David? He's all sweaty and he's like panic stricken.
And like, this is the time in my life, I think, when he worked at night.
Oh God,
delivering pizzas.
Oh my God! So this poor guy is busting his ass to make a living, and then you do that to him
in the day, and he's got to get up at night.
You have shortened his lifespan.
Lifespan. 2 years just subtracted from his life.
No, my siblings have done worse things to him, and we're not going to get into that.
So all told, if your dad.
And I'm like, oldest. I'm loses oldest of
10
seven.
10 years of his life. It's your role, all of you.
Well, I'm going to say, Mr. Duncan, 7 kids. I mean, you're just trying to give yourself a heart attack. So, I mean, what the heck? That's a Herculean effort right there.
And yes, speaking,
be brave for your life choices.
And you know, speaking of heartaches,
you are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost 2 more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
Well, guys, it has been a long time since we've had a Riker Scores, but this episode is trite and rife with them.
Well, it's good for the biggest thing is...
Presumably, he slept with the girl that slapped him. He was going to sleep with the older lady.
With the Penny, right.
Penny, if he didn't act all, like, snobby with her. And he definitely got with Marta.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the score.
Marta's
maybe
the score.
With Q, since he woke up next to Q.
Yeah, maybe he was doing Q while he thought he was doing Marta.
Nightmare fuel.
I would go to the med bay and I would have some tests done. Yeah.
Nightmare fuel.
It's been everywhere.
Yeah, so, you know, the interesting thing about this is that so Picard gets with this friend that, you know, he's obviously probably thought about in the future.
And she's thought about it too.
Well, of course. And here's the thing. It's like the issue is anything. Is if you develop a friendship, sometimes sex will mess up a friendship. It's according what the dynamics of the friendship
the 24th
is.
Century. We've evolved beyond this petty stuff.
I still disagree.
That's not true.
I think, you know, the free love thing, it works in some aspects, but it also – it changes. It changes the dynamics of a relationship. And it complicates things and emotions get changed. So, and I think this is why she felt that, you know, they could never go back to what there was before.
But so. Then she didn't want to pursue a relationship either. Like, what? Why did you – and she initiated with him. So, I mean, she
– I think she realized afterward that she enjoyed the friendship more than the sex. And I'm not saying that he was bad with the sex. We don't know that, but I think it was more. It might have been terrible.
It was a lot more personal than she was expecting.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she was like, oh, man, I just kind of wish we didn't do that. We could go back to how it was because I don't know what this is anymore, you know. Yeah.
And I'm in unfamiliar territory, and we forgot the navigation chart.
Yes.
Maybe the Narshigans got it.
Maybe my astrophysics junior grade lieutenant will know.
Yeah.
No, he's still not here with the file. Damn it.
Yeah. And I never got back with Marta, even when I was lieutenant junior grade.
Yeah, that would have been cool if they got married later on.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah. But instead, it wasn't worth it at all.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if in generations, if Marta was his wife, whenever he had all those kids around the Christmas tree.
The tree.
And Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim.
I love you, Dad. I don't know. Like, it's like, I know, I don't think his name was Tim. I don't think he was.
He looks like Tiny Tim.
But he, like, every time I see
it,
I think
the,
Tiny
it
Tim.
It has all the Christmas things going on in that, so.
But he didn't have the crutches.
Well, it wasn't Tiny Tim.
But yeah, but
he wasn't Scrooge.
Every time I think about it, I see that part. It's like it's Tiny Tim.
Yeah, so that's definitely it's one of those things that I think you do make the mistake of sometimes that, you know, sex can change relationships, you know.
Not for Riker. Riker's like, oh yes, we're just gonna keep doing it.
Well, and then there's some people like Riker and Kirk who are just kind of like they're in their own world and they don't really. You know, Picard's more sensitive than that.
Yeah.
Especially the mature Picard. The younger Picard was just, you know, more Riker-ish.
Yeah, as we find out in Lessons, the love thing is kind of difficult for him.
The love is difficult for me.
The struggle is real, especially when she has a roll-out piano and then goes onto a planet where she'll die a fiery death, most likely.
I want to know what love is.
What is love?
I want you to show me
what a roller piano can do.
Oh, God. And the piano rolled on into that big hole in the galaxy.
And he played his flute. Doot, doot.
So, yeah, there we go. I mean, you got to give props. I mean, it's probably like one of those things that you look back and it's like, oh, man, if we ever got, you know, if I ever go back in this time, I could get back with so-and-so, and maybe we would have made it together or something like that.
So I wonder if Picard called Marta and was like, hey, did we do it? Because, like, you know, that way he could have confirmed whether or not, like,
yeah.
You know, if that happened or not.
Yeah.
Because presumably that didn't happen originally.
Hey, did we do it, or did I dream that up?
Did we do it? Messing with us again?
Like, before I got stabbed with a Noskin, did we do it that night before?
Did we do it the night before?
I got stabbed?
Because or was the night after I got stabbed?
Because that would have been a good present if we didn't do it before.
Johnny, we never did it.
Damn.
So it's an interesting retrospect. I think we've all had that thought, you know, like if we went back in time, could we get together with this person or that person, and would it made, you know, but Picard finds out that it's not always meant. It's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out.
May not always be.
No. Very sad.
You know, anytime you get to thinking about that, that tends to be the conclusion I end up drawing. Is that, you know what? I'm on my own for a reason. And then I look at their Facebook page and I'm like, yep, I made the right choice.
Ooh. What happens if you go on their Facebook page and you're like, oh,
they see me trolling, hating.
I missed out on that.
I've actually never had that happen. There's only been like three really bad relationships, and like there's
and you're
two
like,
people that I would have really liked to get with, and like I saw what their life went. I was like, I'm so glad I missed that train.
Oh, interesting.
The pain train. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's if I break up with people, I stay friends with them. I mean, you know, it's just the way I am.
Not me.
Unless they're complete jackasses. And
cut
they bring
the
them
tree!
The ground.
Cut the tie!
Cut the tie, complete enemies.
Nuke that bridge, cut it at the root.
Yeah.
Break their nose!
Send them hate mail periodically.
Just to remind them how much you love them.
See, that requires caring. I mean, at that point, you just want to walk away and just let it go. No more energy expenditure.
Yeah, hate, you know.
Poop a big log in their backyard.
Metallica's got a song like Wasting My Hate on You. I'm like, I don't know if I would want to waste my hate that way.
Waste my hate.
Yeah.
I need my hate.
To expend it on.
It's like my core of energy.
Waste my hate on you.
What else do you think people spend on PETA? I mean, seriously.
On what?
PETA.
Like pita, like the bread?
No.
Pedestrians I'd like to eat? No. People for tasty animals, yes.
What are we talking about?
Pita.
Were we talking about pita?
I don't know. She brought it up.
Oh
my God. Wow. Aaron's oblivious.
I don't know how we made that jump.
I don't know either.
How do we make that jump?
Oh, it's okay. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Oh, no, you leave all our listeners confused.
So, so I guess we could all go and Facebook our exes and wonder what they're doing. So if you're doing that now, Facebook your ex and decide if you've made a bad choice in your life or if you made the right choice. One look at their profile picture, you'll know right away.
You'll know. But while you're doing that, just leave them a link to Synthaholics because maybe they need a little Synthaholics in their life, even if you don't like them anymore.
That's right. Send them and say, hey, I thought you might
listen
to this.
Just spam them repeatedly. Enjoy.
Just share.
You might like to listen to this, you asshole.
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, it's going to be a very, very cobbled together, hateful coalition of listeners we'll have.
Oh, it'll be fantastic. I love our listeners. They're the best.
That's okay. We'll all resent the world together.
That's right.
Freedom to resent the world.
We hate it all.
Or hide under the crib.
But we love our listeners.
Or hide under the crib for 3 hours.
Yes, I'll hide under the crib for 3 hours while I'm listening to Synthaholics. It's like, oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you asking for me. I was listening to my podcast.
I had my podcast in my ears, Papa.
I did not know.
I couldn't hear you. Oh.
Well.
This episode took a turn I didn't expect.
It's a magical turn. It's what you get when you listen to, you have your wonderful co-hosts pouring out their heart stories for you. Well, it is 2016, and we'd like to thank Warp 11 for letting us use their music in all of our episodes.
Yay!
Thank you guys at Warp 11. You can find their latest album and their other albums at warp11.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow them at Twitter at Warp 11. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Email us, please.
We love getting fan email.
Aaron really likes letters. He needs something to do.
I need something to pass the time.
Even though Aaron can't read, he lets me read them to him.
Oh, that's why we pass the time
away. Send him pictures.
Yes. Like step-by-step pictures on how your day is.
Just crayon pictures.
Or crayon pictures. That'll work too.
I mean, he's a dad. He knows. He can interpret
it. I love it.
You might make it on his fridge.
Yeah.
You can find our website at synthaholics.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. You can follow me on Twitter at David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004. And Faith is at...
Faith Hertzburn.
Yeah. And please rate and review us on iTunes. Give us stars, since we haven't any in 2016. I know in the beginning we kind of made you not want to give us stars, but I think by the end this is a payoff that you'll be like, yeah, they deserve... They deserve multiple stars.
We deserve stars and written reviews.
At least Aaron does.
Yeah.
Aww.
give him props for this episode. I mean, give him a virtual hug.
There you go.
Yeah, Aaron poured out his heart for us this episode.
That's right.
This episode definitely deserves 5 stars.
And
even though we hurt your ears at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was David's fault, but it's okay. Aaron made up for it.
And and he shaved off years off his father's life. And anyways. So rate and view us. Let us know how you feel about me or Dave or Faith. Or all three of us at
all three of us would be good, too.
The mighty trio of Synthaholics. And, you know, we are on Stitcher also. You can find us there.
And iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And iTunes. And you can go to our Patreon page if you have any extra change. Please give us throw a little money our way to help us fund our podcast.
And so we can go to cons and meet the fans and
meet you.
Yeah, meet you guys. You know, we want to get tables.
It gets us out of the house, and we really want to see you.
I know.
We want to get tables so we can sit down and have you guys come see us at cons. Tables aren't cheap to get at cons and booths and stuff like that. So yeah, that would go a long way to helping us get out to cons.
And lastly, I would like just to say, I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something.
No.
This is what I was going to say. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the cons. You know, tell a friend. Tell a friend about Synthaholics. Tell somebody that it might like it. Maybe your ex. Maybe somebody you're planning on to breaking up with. Maybe
but
give
ex.
It to them before you break up.
Oh, yeah. Do that before. Last little thing before we go, before we part ways, check out this link.
Here's a gift that continues giving.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, we are the weekly gift that keeps on giving.
And, you know, the more people know, it's a bigger community that everyone can kind of enjoy being part of.
Yeah, and our community is facebook.com/group/Synthaholics.
And we are always trying to do crazy things on the page to get people to be more to bring a little light in their life.
We post funny pictures. We post hardcore news about Star Trek's lawsuits.
Nudity.
Not yet.
No,
we haven't done that yet.
We haven't done that. I think we can flag
you're dreaming
that.
Again there, Aaron.
Damn it.
It's all right. We can hope.
Michelle Nichols naked. Damn it.
Fan dancing all night long for you.
Oh, that dream just keeps coming back.
It's the dream that keeps on dreaming.
Well, see, there you go. You at least have a what place. There
actually, Michelle Nichols is going to be at the Niagara Falls Comic Con. We should go.
Is she doing a fan dance?
Oh.
I don't think so, but maybe we can ask her if she will.
You guys need to fulfill his dream.
We need to go.
We'll bring her some fans.
Bring the fans. Please. Please do this for me.
That'll be great.
Yes, it will.
Well, thank you all for listening, guys. Live long and prosper. We laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever
had. 75-year-old Michelle Tickles doing a fan dance. Would help if you turn it on.
No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't. Because the hyperdrive hasn't said yet.
Press the button harder.
Press the button harder.
Press the button. It's a touch button. It doesn't. There's no force touch on this.
Well, they press it faster. I don't know.
I had to turn up the slider on the board. It was down.
That's how Scotty talks about when he's beaming people aboard.
I had to turn the sliders up on the board. Sliders,
yeah, it's just like a transporter.
Damn it, Scotty, just beam on the board.
But it's really technical.
Take your retainer out.
I got to slide the things and hide my finger that I don't have.
I have a cleft palate.
I have a lisp sometimes.
Suck that back up. You drooled a little.
Lisp sometimes when I speak.
Scotty, I know you're just pushing those forward. There's no rhyme or reason for it whatsoever.
And then I just kind of slide them up and down when I want when I feel like the transport needs to take longer.
It does seem like it. Those little sliders, they're just like what the hell? What?
Play with.
Like, I mean, it leaves a lot for human error. To be beaming someone aboard.
It's a secret performance rating, and what they're really doing is rating their own performance, and they have no idea.
Yeah. There you go.
How often do you actually touch the screen? Let's see. How quickly can you do it?
It's a sliders.
The machine actually does everything. I don't really.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
I don't know what these buttons are.
I stare at
the shiny lights.
I'm giving her all she's got. I get the sliders.
The sliders.
The sliders don't do shit, man.
Scotty, I'm going to give you a little advice. The sliders don't do shit. They just make it look like you're doing something.
Oh, I didn't know that, Commander. Commander O'Brien. Okay, let's get started for the real this time, maybe?